Hoffaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
Don't say, well, I have a right, I'm going to wait for them. I forgive them, I'm just going to wait for them to come to me. No, be like Jesus.
That was John Zimmer, missionary to the island of Palau, and our guest speaker for today's edition of Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these lessons from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today, John Zimmer turns to Philippians chapter 2 and helps us catch a glimpse of the heart of Jesus.
Philippians 2 was just a really powerful passage for me, especially as we were entering into Palau and learning a new culture and a new way of life. And so I just wanted to share a little bit from this passage and encourage each of us to have a heart like Jesus, to have the attitude of Christ, so that our words really will have power, so that when we speak the truth from the Word, there is actual strength behind the words. Philippians chapter 2, and let's begin reading in verse 1. It says, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." The first principle that really jumps out at me in this text is found in verse 3. And the principle is that we must disarm our selfish heart by replacing it with a selfless heart. I'm convinced that so many marriages could be brought back into wonderful harmony if this principle was practiced. So many issues in a church could be brought to nothing and resolved and completed if this principle was practiced. And it is a difficult principle, but it is so important for us. If that principle is brought into the home or it's brought into even your neighborhood, people start wanting what you have because it's that selfless, Christ-like attitude that really shouts the gospel. But if I'm always in a hurry with my rigid plan and I'm always so uptight about what I've got to do and my way and how I'm going to do it, guess what? It stiff arms the gospel. And I think it will impact, I know it will impact others because it's Christ-likeness. The next thing I wanted to point out was found in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And here, Paul is pointing out that we need to step it back and take our expectations, those things that we say, I want it done this way, and if it doesn't go this way, then all of a sudden I'm thrown into turmoil and everything else is bad. It's disarming our personal expectations by replacing them with personal gratitude. This is huge. Because how many times if maybe you've done something, you made a presentation or you've even done some type of ministry and one thing went bad. Or afterwards you had 99 compliments, but there was one critical comment. What do you tend to focus on? The one critical comment, right? You can't get over that. And the reality is that many times expectations that are sort of dashed will control us and make us lose our joy. But what we have to learn is that we can replace those expectations with gratitude in what God is doing. Because those negative thoughts will quickly rob you of the joy. And as you go to try to share Christ, or maybe you have shared Christ, and all of a sudden your neighbors or someone you love, you're trying to lead to Jesus, sees you kicking the dirt and frustrated over some little small detail, what happens is the gospel is hindered. And so it's learning to disarm those expectations by replacing it with gratitude. David said it this way, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul." In the midst of incredible suffering and difficulty, David cried out to God, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." Paul said, "I've learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content." It's learning to replace those things. The third thing I wanted to point out was found in verses 5 through 8, and we're going to finish with this. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, talking about Jesus, verse 6, being in the form of God, he is actually God himself, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Here's Jesus in heaven, has been there for all of eternity, involved in the creation of the world, and he's God himself, the Son. And yet he looked down and saw man's sinful heart, saw the break in our relationship with God, the Father. And the Father and the Son agreed, and Jesus came to this earth for one purpose. Why did Jesus come? To allow you and I to be made right with the Father. He came not because of any problem or thing that he did wrong. He came because he loved you and me and wanted us to be made right with the Father. And the thing that I see in this passage is that we must disarm our personal conflicts by replacing them with Christ-like humility. An ancient Chinese proverb says, "Do not remove a fly from your neighbor's face with a hatchet." It's a pretty wise statement. You know, at times you may feel like using a hatchet, but you cannot do that. You know, that's not at all Christ-like. Resolving conflict in America, what I sort of view resolving conflict, if someone does something wrong, I will go and talk to them directly in a gentle and meek way, considering myself lest I also be tempted, according to Galatians 6:1. And I'll just talk with them. I like to deal with things quickly and resolve it so that we can move on and have a healthy relationship. Well, I realized something very quickly in Palau because a lady said something very hurtful, maybe accidentally or whatever, but it really hurt Jamie. And it was at a time where the pressures were heavy. But what was so good was I learned something very valuable through this time. There's some things happened, and Jamie was really discouraged. And I said, "Jamie, I'm just going to go talk with her." So I went and talked to her. She's an older lady. And I just walked up, and I was, you know, again, I'm praying the whole time, "Lord, give me wisdom, help." And walked up, and I said, "You know, what you said really hurt my wife." And I could tell there were some men there, and they're kind of going like, you know, they were kind of, I could see they were saying, "Don't talk about this." But I just kept on, and I finished the conversation, and later these two men stopped coming to the church. And I was like, "Why did they stop coming?" And I actually started asking one of the men's wife why he stopped coming, and she just wouldn't tell me. And then a month or two went by, and she came to me and said, "You know, you talk to the ma'as," that means the respected elderly woman, "you talked to the ma'as the other day." And I said, "Yeah, but what was wrong with that?" And she said, no, "You told her she was wrong." Well, I didn't realize that in Palau, for a man to go, especially a younger man, to go to an elderly woman was absolutely forbidden. It's not good. Now, let me pause the story. Was it wrong for me biblically to go talk to her? No. I did it in the spirit of meekness and gentleness, and I was kind, and I was just trying to help her see. But culturally, it was wrong. Now, here's a fine line, because I do need to deal with problems, but there are other ways to resolve problems. You can be creative in how you do it so that you don't break a relationship. Even though I did it the right way, I was wrong according to what she was seeing. Soon as I heard that, I went to her and I said, "Please forgive me. I didn't realize that what I did hurt you like it did. will you forgive me? You know what? Those men started coming back to church. One of them trusted in Jesus. We're still praying for the other one. And this lady has a great relationship with us. That's an example of resolving conflict with Christ-like humility. I always tell our people in Palau, the conflict will go away if one person will act like Jesus. If just one person in the conflict responds like Jesus, the conflict will go away. It's not fun to fight with somebody who acts like Jesus. You ever notice that? Kind of makes you madder, but it eventually the Holy Spirit begins to change you. But the point is that we must disarm our personal conflicts by replacing them with Christ-like humility. You know, Jesus came to this earth not because of any sin that he had done. He came to this earth because you and I had sinned against the Father, and he wanted to make us right. So he humbled himself, literally became man. He never sinned, so he never was fallen in that way. But becoming a man from being God, he came to this earth so that you and I could be made right with the Father. First of all, if you've never had that time in your life where you have been made right through faith in Jesus, there's nothing greater in all the world than knowing God through Jesus Christ. It takes away all the guesswork of trying to hope that one day God will say, well, I think I'll, you know, your good sort of outweighs your bad. That's not God's plan. God's plan has been already put together, and he's allowed us to come in faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He has made the way for us. And then those of you that are here that know Jesus Christ, I just want to challenge you, live like him. When it comes to conflict and things going on in your life, respond like Jesus. Don't say, well, I wasn't the one who was wrong here. That person clearly was the one that was wrong. Forget who's right or wrong. That doesn't matter. Be like Jesus. Don't say, well, I have a right. I'm going to wait for them. I forgive them. I'm just going to wait for them to come to me. No. Be like Jesus. Go try to resolve this conflict by responding like Jesus. Humble yourself. Put aside the differences and say, Lord, use me in this conflict so that this can be made right. Spend some more time in this week. Philippians 2 is loaded with so much for us that just helps us in our own walk. This is something that I'm still learning on a daily basis, and I think I will be until the day I die. But Philippians 2 really holds so much that will give the gospel even more power through us as we communicate the gospel, because it comes through a life that's been changed rather than just words that come out of our mouth but are not really emulated in our life.
Thank you for listening to today's message with our guest speaker, missionary John Zimmer, on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That information again, Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Our phone number, area code 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website. That's hbcguam.net, where you'll also find information on how to obtain a podcast of today's program. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.